Hi, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. And today we are looking at Psalm 120. So you may want to get your Bibles ready, Psalm 120. The call to worship I've chosen is from Micah chapter 6, verse 6 and 8. What should I bring before the Lord when I come to bow before God on high? Should I come before him with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Mankind, he has told each of you what is good and what it is the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen. We are beginning a series now where we're going to look at the book of Psalms, which is the hymn book of the Bible. But we're going to look specifically at a collection of psalms known as the Songs of Ascent, and they are found in chapters 120 through to 134. Now, we're not certain why these songs, written by different authors with a variety of themes, were placed together. Some feel that the title A Song of Ascent refers to the tune or the style of music that was used with them. I'm following a common view that these songs were collected into a kind of a chorus book, which was sung by the pilgrims on their way up to one of the three great annual festivals held in Jerusalem. In the spring, there was a festival of the Passover, as the people remembered how God saved them from slavery in Egypt. Early summer, 50 days later, there was the Feast of Pentecost, where they renewed their commitments as God's covenant people. In the fall, again, they went up to Jerusalem and they celebrated God's harvest blessings during the Feast of the Tabernacles. At that time, they built shelters and remembered that they had once been a wandering people without a country until God led them to this land he had promised to their forefathers. Psalm 120 is the first of these 15 psalms. We aren't certain who wrote it. Some feel it was written by King David, as he lamented the time that Doeg the Edomite told King Saul that the priest had helped David escape, leading to the slaughter of 85 priests and their families. Other commentators say that this psalm comes from the opposition Nehemiah experienced as he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem following the Babylonian captivity. Clearly, determining the author of the psalm is difficult, but what we can understand is that the emotion that it expresses crosses the centuries into our own. Let's read it. Psalm 120 from the New International Version says, I call on the Lord in my distress, and he answers me. Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom brush. Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live in the tents of Kedar. Too long I have lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Now, at first glance, Psalm 120 is surprising, since it was clearly written as a very personal psalm. Yet, it was later seen as a perfect song to begin this collection. It's not the hymn that many of us would choose to begin our journey to Jerusalem. Yet we will see that it is a song that really needs to be sung first on our journey back to God. Now, a good question to ask ourselves is, how do we human beings begin our journey to God? Have you ever thought about that? What is it that led you to God? What brought you to the point where you were willing to begin the journey to approach Him? So let's look at Psalm 120. What is it that motivated the psalmist? Look at verse 1. I call on the Lord in my distress. Does that sound familiar? Often it is the times of our distress that causes us to give up on our own efforts and instead to call on the Lord for help. So let's take a look. What is the psalmist experiencing? Let's look at verses 2 to 4. He says, "Save me, Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues. What will he do to you, and what more besides, you deceitful tongue? He will punish you with a warrior's sharp arrows, with burning coals of the broom brush." So we see the psalmist is struggling with those who say one thing and do something else, then deny making their promise altogether. This is hurtful in a personal relationship, but in a business or community connection, lying lips and deceitful tongues can be financially devastating and even life-threatening. Who can you trust to confide in? The wisdom on the street says to survive, you have to respond in kind. But is that who I want to be? In verses 3 and 4, the psalmist remembers that God will punish these sins in kind. If we look at Psalm 64, verse 3, and Proverbs 25:18, they describe the words of the wicked as being as devastating as lethal arrows. And wood from the broom tree makes high-grade charcoal. And Proverbs 16:27 and James 3, verse 6, describe evil words as a deadly fire. So we see here that God is going to judge those who speak this way with the same kind of tools and judgment that is a result of their words. The psalmist may not want to join in the evil practices, but he sees it all around him. We see this in verses 5 to 7. "Woe to me," he says, "that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedur. Too long I have lived among those who hate peace. I am a man of peace, but when I speak, they are for war." It seems his circumstances have finally become too much for him, and he's beginning to see them for what they are. Now, Meshech is the name of a far-off tribe along the Black Sea in southern Russia, and Kedur is an Arabian desert tribe. Apparently, both of these tribes had reputations for being barbaric. Today, we might paraphrase these thoughts by saying, "I live among hoodlums and thugs." By now, it is becoming apparent why this psalm, with such a personal message, speaks to each one of us. It's as if we're thinking, "This life I thought would give satisfaction has left me emptier than ever." Often it is moments such as this that cause us to cry out to God for help when we realize how low we have sunk. The distress that begins and ends this psalm comes from a realization that we have been lied to. We are told human beings are basically good. The world is a pleasant place. We are born free. And if we're in chains now, it is someone else's fault. And we can correct that with just a little more intelligence, just a little more effort, just a little more time. Yet from birth, we've been taught to compete, to demand our rights. And no one seems to know how to live in healthy relationships. The whole world seems restless, looking for a fight. Even so, we still believe the lie that things will get better. A cure will be discovered. The economy will improve. The right book will be written to help you. But what do we do when things don't get better? We complain. Resentment builds up within. Anger takes root and violence erupts. Why? Because we have believed the lie that what we are experiencing is unnatural and not how things should be. Now, advice is all around us. Oh, just change your circumstances to change your life. Change your job, move away, or go on holidays. What the psalmist discovered in Psalm 120 is that the way to real improvement, the way to real life, is to take that first step towards God. And that first step towards God is a step away from the world and the lies which points to solutions which exclude God. Saying no to the world's lie and yes to God's truth is described in biblical terms by the word repent. Repentance is the beginning of our journey to God. Repentance is a point where we cry out to God for help and say, "I've had it with the world and its lies and empty promises. Lord God, I need you. Help me." Eugene Peterson, in his book, A Long Obedience, says this about repentance. Repentance is not an emotion. It is not feeling sorry for your sins. It is a decision. It is deciding that you have been wrong in supposing that you could manage your own life and be your own God. It is deciding that you were wrong in thinking that you had or could get the strength, education, and training to make it on your own. It is deciding that you have been told a pack of lies about yourself and your neighbors and your world. And it is deciding that God in Jesus Christ is telling you to trust. Repentance is a realization that what God wants from you and what you want from God are not going to be achieved by doing the same old things or thinking the same old thoughts. Repentance is a decision to follow Jesus Christ and become His pilgrim in the path of peace. Now that's from Eugene Peterson, A Long Obedience. This is where the Christian life begins, with an admission of our total need for God's help. We need to be saved from this world. We need a Savior. The good news is that He is here, and He is Christ the Lord. How about you? Have you finally gotten to the point where you will give up on the world and its promises of shortcuts and easy answers to life? Are you willing to say no to the world and the lie that you can make it without God? The sooner you do, and the truth is no one knows how much longer any of us have, the sooner you can begin the pilgrimage to God and with God. The journey to God begins with a moment of clarity, of coming to your senses when you realize that where you find yourself is a place of death, not life. Remember how verse 1 begins? It says, I call on the Lord in my distress. And it ends with, and He answers me. I call on the Lord in my distress, and He answers me. This is how the journey to health begins. This is how the journey to God begins. Call on the Lord, and He will answer you. Amen. Amen. Let me close with a benediction. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God bless you.